Theme is a medieval theme, and so looking forward to the brochure back there talks about a tournament of champions. And what I want to share with you is kind of what we're going to be focusing on this summertime, and that's teaching the kids to be prepared for the battle before them. In Ephesians chapter 6, he gives us some great instructions, and I've entitled it, Be Prepared for the Enemy. And we're going to be talking about the armor of God. That's our theme going to be through the summer, teaching the kids. But I want to look at some verses here in Ephesians chapter 6 with you. And go to verse number 10. It says, Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Are we prepared for the battle that's before us? Let's just pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth of it. And pray that as we look at it now for these few minutes, that you'll help us to understand the preparation that we need to do to be ready for the battle that's before us. So direct our thoughts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The United States entered World War I in April of 1917, nearly 3 years after the hostilities broke out between Central and Allied powers. America was not well prepared to enter that war. In Seattle, after registration, the first draftees were chosen by lot in the fall of 1917. The commander of the state's National Guard had long preached the gospel of preparation. He was quoted in the Seattle Times after the war that the American soldiers were poorly prepared. Many changes have been made since that time. A speech heard on Veterans Day in 2002 by President Bush, warning after the September 11th, attack was clear. There will be no quick conclusion in the struggle, and America's patience and persistence will be tested as never before. While we prepare ourselves for this long task ahead of us, we take this day to remember those who served. And he basically said, we will be prepared. And as they went into battle and to see how they were prepared this time for the battles before them. But here's the question. Are we prepared for war? What kind of war? It's a different war. It's a spiritual war. Right. And as we go into this war, we have to think, first of all, who's our enemy? And so in Ephesians chapter 6, it says, Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The word devil means accuser. The devil is also called Satan, which means adversary, because he's the enemy of God. Matthew 4:3 describes him this way, as the tempter. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. That was when he was tempting the Lord Jesus Christ. In John chapter 8, verse 44, it refers to this enemy as a liar. He says, You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your flesh you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is the liar and the father of lies. In 1 Peter 5:8, it describes him as a roaring lion. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Our fight is against the devil. Amen. And we need to recognize that he's a strong enemy. He has principalities and powers, as the scriptures say here. And so what we need to recognize is we need to be prepared. And so I want to look at three things here, how to be properly prepared for this enemy. In verses 1 through 10, he talks about having the proper strength. Our strength is determined by our attitude. Our strength is determined by our attitude. What kind of attitude do we have? What kind of attitude do you have? It's interesting how he starts out this chapter developing that attitude from very young age. Look at verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and that thou mayest live long on the earth. Isn't it interesting that he teaches us from a child to develop the right type of attitudes. Attitudes towards our parents. Attitude to do the right things. You know, if you ask children, okay, who teaches children to be rebellious? The pastor, right? He gets up on Sunday morning and says, okay, this is how you can be rebellious, teenagers, okay? No, you don't have to be taught. It's our nature, okay? And so our responsibility as parents was to teach our children and try to help them develop the right attitude and the right submission to the authority. Having worked with teenagers, it's hard to believe that I started as youth pastor in 1983 with a full head of hair, okay? How come you still have yours, John? I don't understand this, okay? But working then and have always been dealing with them, trying to teach them to have a right attitude. Because I believe if children can develop a right attitude towards their parents, they'll have a right attitude towards God. And so having the right attitude, I think, is so, so very important that we develop that attitude of submission. Also, the attitude of surrender. Look at verse 4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that you are masters. Verse 6. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will, doing service as to the Lord and not unto men. So not only this matter of submission, but also surrender. Willing to be a servant. Do whatever's asked. One of the things that we do in staff training, we bring the staff in, about 60 of them, and then we put them into work assignments. And they're different units. And one of the things during training is just help them learn to do whatever they're asked to do. Everybody has to clean the bathrooms. They just love that, okay? And going in there. But teaching people to serve. Our whole team program was developed from teaching people to serve. As a youth pastor in Watertown, I love taking kids on mission trips. Had the privilege to take on 17 different mission trips. And one of the things was teaching kids to serve. That's what our team program is all about, teaching kids to serve. Now, look at your life. Are you willing to be of service to the Lord? Willing to serve? Willing to say, hey, whatever the job is, I'm willing to do that. And so it's very important as we see that we have this proper idea, the proper strength, this attitude of submission, attitude of surrender in our lives. But what I want to focus in down in verse number 10 following is our proper strength. He says, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand or withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. So he reminds us we're going to have to take a stand. We're going to have to be prepared. So how can we be prepared for this enemy? And I want to go through this, just kind of things that you're probably familiar with, but remind you about how he wants us to be prepared as a soldier. And look at this armor of God. Look at verse 14. He says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. With truth. Learning to tell the truth. We know that the devil is a liar and the father of lies.
That's right.
Who taught you how to lie? Okay, I blame my sister, okay, you know, or my brother, okay, but we're liars by nature. And so we need to recognize, even as Christians, I wish you could say, once I got saved, I've never been tempted to lie since. But that old nature's still there. And so it's a battle that we struggle with all the time. And so he says, very importantly, that we need to have this belt of truth. Before a Roman soldier put on his armor, he put on a heavy leather belt around his waist. In that day, soldiers would wear long tunics, which covered most of the body. Yet in hand-to-hand combat, you didn't want this long tunic to get in your way, so they would tuck it into their belt. And so that belt of truth that we referred to, was very important to the soldier. And so he used it also to hang his sword. So it was a very essential part of the soldier. And so it's interesting. He says, I want you to start out with this loins girt about, or this belt of truth. Truth is so important. One of the things that in the office you saw that we have now a conference table in my office. The conference table is also used very effectively to deal with all the campers that have some issues, okay? And sometimes campers do, okay? But so many times these kids come in and I'll ask them questions and they'll just continue to lie to me. And I try to get to the truth. And finally, most of the time we're able to. But, you know, I say, why are you lying? And the various reasons why they do, but trying to teach telling the truth. And it's something I think we all struggle with. You know, sometimes it's we lie to get out of trouble. We lie to cover up. And so we just need to say, God, help me to be a person that tells the truth all of the time. Learn to tell the truth. Your word is important. Here's the question. Can you be trusted? And so he deals with this idea of truth. But look at also verse 14. He says, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. This breastplate, again, the soldiers preparing for war, so much different than our soldiers today. But in those days, there was this hand-to-hand combat. The piece of armor made of metal plates of chain covered the body from the neck to the waist, both front and back. The breastplate of righteousness protects the soldier. Think of this idea. Do right needs to be our motto. This piece of armor was designed to protect the heart. Why? The heart. Proverbs 23:7 says, for as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And so the heart was very important. So this protection. But it's interesting. This protection on the soldier was also called the breastplate of righteousness. So think of this motto. Just do right. So think of the basic things what he's telling the soldier. Tell the truth. Do right. Things that we sometimes take for granted. But we need to look at it and say, is that part of my life? Am I doing the right thing? Regardless of the circumstances, do right. Look at verse 15. He says, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The gospel of peace. The Roman soldier wore sandals with hobnails on the soles to give him better footing in the battle. It's interesting. This year when we started out our retreat season in January, we had no snow. No snow whatsoever. And so the lake had plenty of ice. And so we did our links on the lake, out on the lake, but it was just a glare of ice. And so I dug out of my boot drawer. I had some of these things I put on my boots. They had like spikes in them. And so I wore those on the lake, and I was so thankful because I watched a bunch of men fall down on the ice. It was so slippery, okay? And now, since all of our retreats are done, we had 5 retreats. 4 of them this year in January we ran without snow. And then February hit. Now we're over 50 inches of snow. We don't know what to do with all of it, okay? But so the Lord knows. They said you were praying for it. You just got your prayer mixed up, Randy, okay? You were 4 months or 4 weeks off. But as I used those things on my boots just to give me protection so I didn't fall. I'm almost 60. I don't want to fall, okay? My body doesn't work so well. But the soldier had these hobnobs on his feet so he'd be prepared. And so it's interesting to me, the soldier had to have good footing to be able to go out and face battle. Now, it's interesting to me, he talks about us and our feet and how we go. Are you using your feet to take the gospel message to those people around you? To share the gospel message? Maybe it's through a track or talking to someone. But just being prepared to give out the gospel message. Using the feet that God has given to you to take the gospel message. A friend of mine, John would know him, Bob Hassel. He went to school with us. He's pastoring down in Illinois. He's been there for over 20 years. But he has a disease that's basically crippling him. He cannot even hardly walk. He's still trying to preach, but he has to use a walker to get up to the platform. But Bob used to go out door to door all the time. He goes, Randy, it's killing me. I can't do that anymore. So what he does is he sits in his office and he makes a bunch of phone calls because he wants to share the gospel message. And so just think about, are we using our body, our feet, to get out the gospel message? Look at verse 16. He says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. He take that shield of faith. The shield was large, usually about 4 feet by 2 feet, made of wood, covered with tough leather. As a soldier held it before him and protected him from spears, arrows, and fiery darts. Now this is interesting. The edge of these shields was so constructed that an entire line of soldiers could interlock their shields and march into the enemy like a solid wall. When I saw that, I thought about it. You know, sometimes as a soldier, we think we're all by ourselves. We're out there all by ourselves. And the idea here was you take your shield and you interlock it with a couple other people and we go and we end this battle together. Amen. And that's what this church needs. To recognize there's some people that are going some struggles and we can go be a help to them. The devil is not playing fair. He's shooting these fiery darts. He wants to destroy us. And sometimes we can use our shield and join up with someone else and say, hey, we want to be a help to you. And so we have this shield of faith. And it's interesting, this shield of faith. Our life is more than just about trusting Jesus Christ as our Savior, put our faith in Him. It's a daily trusting Him every day of our life. Amen. By faith, Galatians tells us that we need to live our lives. And so he talks about the shield of faith. And then he says in verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation. The helmet, it was basically, the helmet was made of thick leather covered with metal plates, somewhere of heavy molded and beaten metal. They usually had check pieces to cover the face. In other words, protect the head. And it's interesting to me, the helmet of salvation. In your life as a Christian, you have to have assurance of salvation, knowing for sure that you are on your way to heaven because of what Jesus Christ has done for your life. Because then as you go through life, you can hold your head high and not be ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. And to me, the idea that soldier wanted to keep his head up so he could see the enemy, see what was attacking. And as we go through our Christian life, do you know 100% sure, as Pastor mentioned, that Jesus Christ is your Redeemer? If not, make sure of that today. Knowing Jesus Christ is your Savior is helping in this battle. And then he says the last thing that he tells in verse 17, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. All five prior things have been, you know, defensive. Now we get to the one offensive piece of equipment. He takes the sword of the Spirit. The only offensive weapon that God provides. The Roman soldier wore it on his girdle, a short sword which was used in close-up fighting. The Bible says in Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and marrows and the discerning of thoughts and intents of the heart. The word of God. God has given it to us to help in this battle. What did the Lord Jesus Christ do when the tempter came to him three times? Use the word of God. What do we need to use? The word of God. Here's the problem. We know the word of God. We've studied it. But do we really apply it? I know in my life, that's sometimes a struggle. You know, I get so caught up in the busyness. And sometimes it's like, how am I applying this word to my heart and to my life? Because it's a battle. I wish we could say, you know, once you get to a certain age, the battle's over. It's not the case. The battle continues, and we need to continue to be in the Word of God, letting the Word of God. And so that's how to be prepared. And then I think he throws in the secret ingredient. Look what the next verse says. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto unto all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Amen. The secret weapon is prayer. Amen. Is prayer. God answers prayer. We had that theme one summer at camp, and my daughter-in-law came up to me. She married Matthew, and she had a Gap sweatshirt on. I don't personally like all the popular things going around there, but she goes, Pastor Randy, you got to like this shirt. I said, it's Gap. Why do I need to like it? Because it's God answers prayer. And so now every time I see anything Gap, all I think of is God answers prayer. I saw one the other day or a few years. It says Gap, London. Yeah, God answers prayer in London too. Okay, but God answers prayer. And just encourage you. And this is always a challenge in my life, is how much time do I spend praying? This morning as I was driving over, I stayed in Watertown after the WAX tournament yesterday, and I was praying for a bunch of men that I know are preaching today. And just praying that God would give them a great service. My son, Micah and Morris, our son Luke is presenting Malta at a place. I have two of our staff members that are in different churches today. Just praying that God will use them. Do you pray for your pastors? Amen. Do you pray that God will use them, protect them? And here's the key. You need to pray for your own life, that God protects you, that God helps you in the battle that you're facing each and every day. And so that's going to be our thrust of the summer. Just share it with you so you can think about it as we get to share this with the campers. Number one, that they'll be saved, and number two, they'll be prepared for the battle that they're going to face in their lives. I just encourage you to be prepared for that battle. Father, we thank you for your word. Just the truth of it, as we were able to look and to see how it so clearly explains how to be prepared. that we'll put on the armor of God, that we may be able to stand, to withstand. And God, the whole goal is that you might help us to claim the victory we have in Jesus Christ. Bless this church. We thank you for it, their faithfulness of the years of getting the gospel message here in this community. Bless now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.